From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good evening. Welcome to our Gospel program. Tonight we continue with our study of the third saying of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. We considered last week how Mary was an example as she stood there at the cross and stood by her son, an example for mothers and indeed an example for fathers. Well, we're returning to that study in John chapter 19 in just a minute or two. We will also have another reading from the book The Shadow of the Antichrist, which is an exposition of the book of the Revelation. We're offering this book to any listener who wishes to obtain a free copy. Just contact us, and we'll be happy to send it to you. Perhaps the book of the Revelation has been a mystery to you. You have found it hard to understand. Well, this book, The Shadow of the Antichrist, could well be a help to you. You can listen as we read another extract from the book, also in just a moment or two. But before we have that reading, let's just read the two verses that we're looking at in John chapter 19, the verse 26 and the verse 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Now we're having that reading from The Shadow of the Antichrist. And this extract deals with the matter of the clarity of the book of the Revelation. God means us to understand this book. Listen to our thoughts on this matter as we read another extract from The Shadow of the Antichrist. It is intended that this book should be a revelation. The Greek word, apokaluptos, translated by our English word revelation, appears for the first time in our New Testament in Luke chapter 2, verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Here it is translated by the word lighten, that which sheds light and reveals. It is the purpose of God in giving his people this book, that they may be enlightened by it, not confused and misled. What an enemy to zeal and progress ignorance amongst God's people is. Hosea the prophet was aware of this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Would Noah ever have built his ark if he had been ignorant of what the future held? Would Pharaoh have ever built his granaries had he been ignorant of the famine that was coming? Likewise, much of the apathy and listlessness, and much worse, the worldliness and compromise among God's people can be put down to ignorance concerning what lies ahead of this world. We have no excuse for such ignorance. So said Paul to the first century Christians. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1-4. Men read the sky, in order to make preparation for foul weather. How important it is to read the Bible in order to be prepared for evil times that are repeatedly referred to in the New Testament by the inspired writers. These prophetical passages are written for our learning. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. The thought of revealing is seen also in the word show. If we look at the first reference of the word show, it gives us a clear understanding of its meaning. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. The meaning is plain. The devil wished Christ to see the kingdoms of this world and their glory. He thought he could thus entice Christ to fall down and worship him by offering the kingdoms to him. God would have us see plainly that which he reveals in his book. It is time once more to turn our thoughts again to those two verses in John chapter 19, the verses 26 and 27. Here we have the third saying of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. We considered last week how that Mary being at the cross was an example to mothers. It is also, of course, an example to fathers. Parents should stand by their children in those times of trouble. But in the Saviour's words to Mary, we have also an example to children. In the most difficult of personal circumstances, we must still fulfill our obligations to our parents. That's what the Lord Jesus was doing here. Joseph, Mary's husband, it would appear, had died some years before. There is no mention of Joseph during those years of our Saviour's public ministry, and I have no doubt that were he alive, mention would have been made of him. So Mary would now be on her own, but her son, her oldest son, for Jesus was her firstborn, considers her. Even in the hour of his trouble and trial, he still senses his obligation to look after his mother. The Saviour was going soon to leave this world and return to his Father. What would become of his mother? That's what he is now arranging. And so he says unto John the Apostle, "Behold thy mother." And he says to Mary, "Behold thy son." And thus he clearly indicates that his will was that Mary reside under the care and under the protection and under the provision of John. Could I say that it is the duty of children to honour their father and their mother? In Ephesians, the chapter 6, and the verse 1, we are told, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." That is, it's the first of the 10 commandments that has linked to it a specific promise for those who fulfill it. And the promise is, in verse 3 of Ephesians 6, "that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." I tell you that the well-being of any individual is closely linked to how they honour their parents. And the troubles in this land, and in the world generally, I am sure is closely linked to the fact that this is a day in which there is little honour paid to parents. It certainly was not so with the Lord Jesus. Here, at the end of his earthly ministry and life, he is honouring his mother. If you turn back in the Gospel of Luke to the very beginning of the Saviour's earthly sojourn, back to chapter 2, you find the Saviour, as a young lad, is equally honouring of his parents. Verse 51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. Joseph, of course, was not the father of the Lord Jesus, but the Saviour honoured him as his earthly father, and obeyed him as his earthly father, and was subject to the word of Joseph, and also to the word of Mary. Dear parent, let me tell you that this is a day in which we need to teach our children to fear God and to honour their parents. How foolish it is for parents to neglect this duty. You know, we talk about spoiling our children, and I tell you, no better word could be used. You do indeed spoil your child if you do not teach them to reverence father and mother and to obey those that God has placed over them. You spoil them. You spoil them. You destroy them. You rob them of life's rich blessing. Indeed, if parents do not teach their children to obey them, I do not believe they have much hope of teaching them to obey the Lord. Christ, in his agonies, saw his mother. Verse 26, he had eyes for his mother. Amidst all the things that were happening, he saw his mother. He spoke to his mother. Amidst the pressing demands of that dreadful experience, Jesus had time to speak to his mother. Perhaps it would be appropriate just at this moment to say that when the Lord Jesus addressed his mother with the word woman, that was in no way derogatory or dishonoring. In chapter 20 and the verse 11, we read of Mary, this time it's Mary Magdalene, outside the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she looked into the sepulchre, and she saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? It would not be for an angel to speak disrespectfully of a tender-hearted, broken-hearted disciple of the Lord Jesus. No, when the Saviour addressed his mother as woman, there was no disrespect intended in that term. He provided for her. His time of parting from her had come. There was in his heart a concern for the well-being of Mary. I wonder, as we come to the end of our program, is Christ's eye upon you? Does he see you as one who loves him, who stands by him, who in his hour of reproach is there to share in that reproach? Are you a faithful follower of Christ this evening? May God help you to be as Mary was, standing at the cross. For if you do, there's a word for you. Praise God, you'll discover Christ makes provision for us, even as he did for his mother. Do remember our programs next week and join with us. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.